Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, football, starts tomorrow for the Titans on the road at Atlanta in the preseason, and it's 3 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it's time for the TD Power Hour. My friend Teron Davenport is here with us, the TD Power Hour, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online freedomtireguys.com. TD, game day tomorrow. How excited are you to see what you've seen on the field in practice, but this time in a little bit of a real game, real tackling, real refs, real catches, real fumbles, and real kicking?
Yeah, no, it's going to be really exciting to be able to finally see what they're doing in practice carry over to the game. That's one of the things I always love to see, because even within practice, the drill work carry into 7-on-7 and team, and now it carries to the game. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm pumped. You know, Mercedes-Benz Dome. It's going to be another good opportunity to check that place out. And there's a bunch of guys that I'm looking forward to seeing how they react when those lights go on.
TD, what do we make of the injury situation right now for the Titans on offense? And the reason I ask that is Vrabel said yesterday Tannehill's not going to play tomorrow, and I don't think I could play Tannehill given the injuries on the offensive line, and I certainly wouldn't want Daniel Munyer, who might be the third-string center of the Titans, snapping the ball to Ryan Tannehill, and God forbid something happened to him. But there are injuries on the offensive line. They're working some guys back, like Taylor Lewan, Tyson Brilo coming off of his injury. Kendall Lamb goes down. We were taking notice of A.J. Brown's knee sleeve and knee brace. Julio Jones has not returned to practice. How concerned are you about the injuries the Titans have had on offense so far?
Well, yeah, you left out two of the interior guys, too, and Ben Jones and Nate Davis. These guys haven't practiced for a bit, so that's another reason why I would – understand fully Ryan Tannehill not playing. And truthfully, I don't really think he needs to play anyway. If Julio Jones isn't playing, Ryan Tannehill doesn't need to. His timing is pretty much down with everyone else. You see how he's even connected with Marcus Johnson so much. So I don't think that it's necessary for him. But the injuries, that's something to consider, just especially because of the lack of depth along the interior part of the offensive line. I think that's the main thing. And I just wonder how this game is going to be for Logan Woodside, for Matt Barkley. I think it might be a little unfortunate for those guys and the receivers, because there's going to be some issues up front as far as the offensive line is concerned. But then again, we have to see how the Falcons, how their reserves work. And you know, if they're able to take advantage of that, we'll see. But I think really it just comes down to just finding ways to get guys available. Aaron Brewer, he's been out, you know, and he's a key reserve for them. So it could be a bit of an issue. I just hope that no one gets hurt, you know, and I just want the guys to get a fair shot to make their case for making the roster.
What do we make, though, of those injuries maybe long-term? I mean, it's weird because last year there was no preseason, and we know Vrabel does not talk about injuries. And you go back and you think about some things that happened at camp, and if I had told you this time last year, Adoree Jackson is going to be out, and Christian Fulton's going to be, I think, dealing with – and Chris Jackson is going to start at outside corner against the Denver Broncos, you probably would have thought, man, that's probably a little crazy for a seventh-round rookie out of Marshall. And I worry about, as we get closer to week one, all of these injuries on the offensive side of the football. The Titans aren't giving us any reason to be alarmed by it, but I'm wondering if maybe we should be.
Yeah, well, Chris Jackson, he started at nickel last year. He didn't start on the outside. But I think, you know, when you look at these injuries, Julio Jones, you got to see him yesterday walking around, didn't appear to have any, you know, difference in his walk or anything like that. So that's a positive thing. I do think as we get later in the preseason, they need to get him out there and just get him moving around and working. I talked to Nate Washington about that, and he has said that, you know, when you get older, you can get those soft tissue injuries if you don't get, like, in the flow of things. So it's going to be important for him to just be active. So that's something to consider. A.J. Brown is back. I mean, yesterday was a maintenance day again. He's back. There's no issues there. I don't really think there's nothing to be overly concerned about on the injury front. Now, granted, it can get worse, right? We've seen Julio Jones. And as I mentioned, those soft tissue injuries and the ankle injuries and the I think it was a hamstring before. So these are things that he's had. You just got to manage it, and I think that's exactly what Coach Vrabel is doing.
What do you think so far about what you've seen at practice? The defense ahead of the offense, is that expected? Do we think the Titans' defense is maybe right now better than the offense? Is it because of the guys that aren't out there? What have you thought so far about what you've seen at practice?
Yeah, I wouldn't say one group is better than the other. I mean, they're both pushing to make each other better. And as Kevin Byard said, when he spoke the other day, you know, he said, yeah, the day before they got after us, so we wanted to get out there and you know, have our turn. And that's basically how it's going. It's back and forth. I think the first week and a half or so, you usually expect the defense to be ahead of the pace, ahead of the offense. It's just the way it works in camp. But then gradually it starts to balance out. And that's what you're seeing. And then you also have to remember that you're not seeing Derrick Henry out there. You're not seeing Julio Jones out there. A.J. Brown is there sparingly. So it's give and take. A lot of the guys that are out there are not the ones per se who will be the main ones on Sunday. So you have to take that for granted for what it is. But at the same time, I think there are some strides being made by the defense. I personally have noticed that the secondary is much more aggressive, which is mandatory after playing off on third and short and those type of things. They're communicating better. Even the linebackers, you know, Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans, they're communicating really well and helping reset the defense with shit when they shift and things like that. So it's a positive. But really, it all comes down to, okay, what can these guys up front? Can they start making some plays? Can they get to the quarterback? And I think with Danico Autry added, with Bud Dupree added, and a much improved Tierre Tart and a steadily improving Jeffrey Simmons, you know, you got Larrell Murchison in the mix. I think these guys are ready to be able to impact the quarterback and help the secondary, who in turn is going to have to help those guys up front by getting that chatter at the line of scrimmage, right? Causing that timing of the passing game to be off a bit.
It is funny you bring this up, because last year they talked after games about communication not being good enough. And we all talked about, okay, why can't they get it figured out? Why is it so different? Is it that Logan Ryan's not there? Is it a Shane Bowen issue? Is it a not having a defensive coordinator issue? And we couldn't get that figured out. I'm with you. It is obvious how important communication has been on the defensive side of the ball so far at camp. Do you think, though, that once you get into a game-like situation, say on the road at Seattle week two, that communication when you with all the fans and the noise, and we all know that those Seattle fans have been waiting and waiting and waiting to get back to being Seattle fans. I mean, do you think that will still be able to hold up all the work that they've put in with communicating on defense?
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I mean, it's not like they're saying full sentences. It's just a matter of, okay, you have an in-breaking route. Is the outside corner in to the linebacker or to the safety who's supposed to pick him up? And there's also unspoken communication, whereas, a lot of times, when you get the bunch sets, the zero splits, you know, the guys are close to each other, the receivers, you see the communication where it's just like a hand signal, right? You touch one side of your body as opposed to the other. And that's how you know, okay, which side you're going to switch off. So I think there's ways to get around that. Now, offensively is a little bit different, right? Because you have to actually check into different plays, and that has to be relayed. So that could be an issue, but I don't think it's going to be one defense-wise.
What do you think about the special teams that we'll see tomorrow night? I know we'll get into the game, but I do wonder at practice, we've seen Chester Rogers and Cam Batson and Mason Kinsey returning punts. We've seen the kickers miss kicks. But it's different in a real game. And I think, if anything, special teams is an area of the Titans that, just like the defense, it needs to improve. So how much have you kind of seen so far out of special teams? And then what's kind of the big question marks in your mind surrounding special teams?
Well, I mean, there's really so much you can see, right? You can't simulate going down and covering a punt, so – I can't really say I've seen anything from that perspective. You can't simulate punt return, where it's live and guys are actually wrapping up and tackling. So I can't tell you that, right? I mean, the one thing that is good is I haven't seen any of the guys dropping punts. So at least we know they can field the punt, which is step one. Now,
yes,
taking it to step two, we'll see when you know, the lights come on. As far as the kicking, it seems like a neck and neck type of thing. I like the way Tucker McCann has kind of responded to Sam Ficken being brought in. You know, he's gotten better on some of these long distance ones. He did miss one, but you know, you see him hitting from 53, 54, 50. So I expect to see them carry that over to game day, frankly.
TD with us for the TD Power Hour. On the other side, we will take a look at the Titans' revamped defense and how much of it is camp feeling good and how much of it is legitimately feeling good. We'll get TD's thoughts on what he's seen out of the defense and what he expects out of the defense. We'll do that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We are delivered by TriStar Moving, and I have been telling you about my guys at TriStar Moving for a while. And like most people, I hate moving, but not anymore, thanks to TriStar Moving, because they made the entire process when I moved in November so simple. There's a reason their motto is TriStar Movers with five-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving became a breeze. It really did, honestly. They offer home protection, covering your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They are always upping the game when it comes to their mover training. All of my furniture, all of my stuff, honestly, all of my crap, they took great care of. Mattresses were placed in bags and TVs were boxed up, and they even have that brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet. The owners, Garrett and Robert, true Nashvillians, and they care about helping their hometown. This company is the real deal, and they are on the rise quickly, all due to the higher standard that they hold that I can attest to because I use TriStar Moving. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving. Visit them at nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. That's TriStar Moving, my official movers. TD Power Hour continues next at ESPN 102.5 The Game. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire. Guys, be sure to check them out. Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, you know, I know, we all know the Titans' defense was a mess last year. They know that. I heard Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN say he thinks the biggest addition in the AFC is Bud Dupree, Caleb Farley, and Jackrabbit Jenkins. You've now seen them for 2.5 weeks out on the football field. You've seen them in pads. We haven't seen them tackle yet. We'll see a little bit of that tomorrow. But what do you make of this Titans revamped defense, and how much are you buying on it, or how much of it are you selling?
I think it's kind of funny. He says the biggest addition, and he mentions three players, but that's interesting. I think when you look at the guys that have come aboard, it's just about a change of a mindset and an attitude. And in talking to different guys, whether it's Derek Roberson, Christian Fulton, Harold Landry, you know, when you bring up Bud Dupree, Janoris, or Jackrabbit Jenkins, the first thing that comes up is the confidence, right, and the swagger. And that's something that they bring. So those additions are huge. I think when you look at Jenkins, and he actually showed it a couple times, just his ability to score the football. Now, since he came into the league, no one has more defensive touchdowns than he does. Not Marcus Peters, not anybody else. You know, he has 9. Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, they're tied for 7. So that lets you know right there that the guy has a way of you know, scoring the football. He had as many defensive touchdowns as the Titans defense overall did last year. He had his pick six, Tom Brady, and you had the Desmond King punt return. But, you know, so that lets you know also. For me, I think it's again, the mindset. You're seeing that, right? The younger corners are competing. Look at what Breon Borders is out there doing. You see Christian Fulton out there coming up and making plays. So I like that. I think that's something that he's helped kind of bring out of these guys and just – the work ethic and just like every rep going hard. That's key. As far as Bud Dupree is concerned, I think that is a big addition. Now, we're not seeing him out there doing much, but the fact that you help establish that pass rushing culture, that's big time. As far as what we're seeing on the field, Derek Roberson had a pretty good day a couple of days ago. Just being able to set that edge. He made Derrick Henry have to bump a couple runs back inside a few times on the half line drill. You see Rashad Weaver starting to make some strides. Even Mike Vrabel gave him credit for that when he said that he's excited about seeing him play on Friday. So those are some players. Tier Tart, you know, that's something to take note of, what he's doing up front, just with his footwork, his speed, you know, and the swim move that he's using, and just the strength itself. I think that defensive front is really strong, and Jeffrey Simmons as well.
How much do you think Shane Bowen's second year is going to be easier on him than the first? I always think about Jim Schwartz. The first year, the Titans had some salary cap issues on defense. It was evident they were not very good. The second year, they were one of the better defenses in the NFL, and Jim Schwartz went on to run a great defense until he took the Lions job. This is Shane Bowen's second year after a very confusing last year and a lot of moving pieces. Beasley and Clowney didn't work out. Adoree Jackson was hurt. Jonathan Joseph didn't work out. There were a lot of issues last year. Jayon Brown got hurt. How much more have you seen out of Bowen, and what do you think so far?
Well, there's a different confidence level with him as well. And it's just like anything, right? After you do it for a full year and you come back and you do it again, you're going to be more familiar with it and you're going to be better. And then just the fact that he has the title now, you could kind of feel he's empowered, right? And he has that mindset that he's empowered. And you see him going from group to group. And that was the very first thing I spoke to him about, you know, when we got to talk to him on Zoom after getting the job. How much better will it be for you to go to position group, position group, position group, and sprinkle your flavor on the defense all over instead of just working with the outside backers? That's not something that he has to do, right? He's able to work with the corners. You see him come over there and say something about, you know, how he could see a team attacking this and the way that they have to do leverage, use leverage on that. So those are things that definitely are allowing him to just have a further input, right? Spread his message, right? In each group room, he's able to do that. So it's miles and miles better for him. And he looks a lot more confident. You hear him speaking a lot more. And that's significant, you know, and he's taking on that role of defensive coordinator, not de facto defensive coordinator, you know, and I think that's big time for him.
There's two things about this defense, maybe even three, honestly, that to your point about TD naming him the defensive coordinator that I think are important. One is that, because last year it was like, who's in charge of the defense? Like it was some great secret and not one guy was supposed to put their hand in the air and say, hey, I'm the guy in charge. I think a second thing that's important is last year they brought in Clowney and Beasley, but no one really would say, hey, your job is to go get the quarterback. Bud Dupree came in and said, it's my job to be the guy who gets the quarterback. And then last year when Logan Ryan left and we talked about communication, it was kind of like, yeah, we got to figure it out. We got to figure it out. And it feels to me like Kevin Byard has said, it's my job to be the guy in the secondary to get this all figured out. And I think those three things, the confidence of knowing who is in charge of those three things, for me, I think is a pretty big deal, TD.
And it's not just Kevin Byard. Amani Hooker has been really big. And that's something that you know, I've gotten to talk to him about throughout camp, is just how he's stepping up and being a leader. And he said the main thing for him is knowing everybody's job, where everybody's supposed to be. So that way he can, okay, look, man, you're not supposed to be lined up here. You're supposed to be lined up there. You know, they're motioning here. Look, we got to look for this when they, you know, those type of things. And that's a leader and that's a communicator. And you can't do that if you don't know, you know, everything inside out. So Amani Hooker, I want to give him credit for that as well. But yeah, you're right. No one really stepped up and just said, okay, it's on me to make this thing right, you know? And I think that's big time because you have guys doing that. What did Jeffrey Simmons say, right? When I asked him about being considered a top five tackle, he said, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about being the guy the team can rely upon to make a play when we need a play to be made. That's another example. It goes beyond just communication, like taking that role. It's taking the role as, yo, I'm that dude. When the stuff hits the fan, look, man, get on my back and we're going to ride. And I think that's what you have absolutely in Bud Dupree. That's what you have absolutely in Jeffrey Simmons, Kevin Byard. And it's just continuing to spread throughout the defense. And it goes back to what Bud Dupree said on his first press conference, you know, where he said he wants to have it where, you know, he feels he's the guy that's going to make the play when it needs to be made. But he wants 11 guys, all the guys to feel that way. He wants 11 guys that want to take your face off. You can't like anything better than that, man. That sounds good to me.
Something that has popped up in camp, the interceptions on defense. And I thought about this because it was funny, TD, you were there. We talked to Todd Downing, and then he walks off, and Kevin Byard walks on, and it's like, Todd, what do you think of the interceptions? Well, you know, some of these are unacceptable, and we can't this. KB, what do you think of the interceptions? Oh, I think it's great. And that's how training camp is. The Titans' defense wasn't good last year, but the one thing that saved their bacon was they turned the football over. And they were highly effective at it. We've seen some Jeffrey Simmons batted passes in practice so far that I think is something people don't talk enough about. But the interceptions, do you look at that and say good on the defense or bad on the offense?
I don't think it's bad on the offense, and I don't think it's good on the defense. I think it's what you should expect some of these plays to be made, you know, and that's just having an understanding of how camp is, right? You know, camp is a time where you're feeling stuff out. Like you're as a receiver, you're working different releases and working on different ways to run routes and seeing how this might work or that might work. As a quarterback, and even Ryan Tannehill said it, he's fitting it into places that he probably normally wouldn't try to. Right. But it's a time. OK, well, you know what? Let me see if I could do that. And I don't put much stock either way in it. And this is why it's so important. Like I was saying last week, you can't get too high. You can't get too low on what you're seeing in training camp, because it's all, you know, the preparation process. And it's just you're out there feeling out. It's just like spring training. Right. You know, Jacob DeGrom goes out there, gives up a bunch of home runs in spring training. You don't have to be worried about it because, you know, OK, well, when it's time to open the day, he's going to knuckle down and do what he has to do. And I think the same thing should apply to Ryan Tannehill. And the turnover thing from last year, a big part of that was just how few turnovers the offense had, right? So it's naturally going to be a plus a turnover ratio when you have the offense doing it. Now, granted, there were, I think, like 7 interceptions. I forget how many interceptions it was collectively, but you know, there was a decent amount, and they ranked pretty well from that perspective.
One thing I will say, and you're right about not getting too high and too low in practice, I think Amani Hooker, and you brought him up earlier, I think he's going to have a breakout season this year. I mean, last year he had all those interceptions playing that kind of, you know, that rover safety, you know, on the field a lot role, that third safety position. I think he looks great at camp so far. Yeah. You know, I think the chemistry between him and Byard is there. Kenny Vaccaro was a good player. And financially, they had to make a move. And Hooker had earned the right to be a starter. I think he's going to have a big year. If he makes the Pro Bowl this year, I won't be surprised whatsoever.
It's going to be tough, man. Like, you got Jesse Bates. You got Justin Simmons. There's some darn good corner. Minka Fitzpatrick. There's some darn good safeties. But, I mean, I don't really, you know, the Pro Bowl for me isn't like, that's not the validity, you know, the validation of him as a player. I think just, you know, if he could just continue to just trend up from what he did last year, I think that'd be fine. And I just want to see how he's going to take on this starting role. I think he's going to do an excellent job, but just like anything, you know, when you get put into a key role, you got to step up, you know, and it's different from being, you know, the number three safety and coming on the field situationally. You're on the field all the time now. So how are you going to respond to that?
Preseason game number one tomorrow. What does TD want to see? We'll discuss that next with him here on the TD Power Hour, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company. They're online at freedomtireguys.com. And Sounds Baseball's on ESPN 94.9. Tune into Sounds Baseball as the Sounds take on Louisville, the AAA affiliate of the Reds. Pregame with Jeff Hem, 5:15. First pitch, 5:30. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. By the way, speaking of the Reds, how about them Braves last night? Walk-off home run
annoying.
In the 11th inning.
So frustrating.
I'm just saying.
When are the Braves going to zag? Because they've been zigging for way too long.
Oh, they are a zig-zag team.
Because they are a zigzag team.
I don't want to talk about baseball, man.
I've noticed that. The Phillies and Braves keep going up in the standings, and I look back. See, I don't want to get too cocky because you get too cocky, and then all of a sudden the Mets are going to be off six in a row, and I don't want that. TD with us at ESPN 102.5, the game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Some guys input onto how much they want to play, or you just tell them and they live with it?
I think everybody that travels should be expected to play the entire game. Will they? No, but you know, I think that's how I try to prepare, even knowing that I wasn't going to play the entire game. Or maybe in Pittsburgh when I knew that I was going to play the entire game. So we just ask them just to prepare themselves mentally, go through their routine, their pregame routine, how they would warm up, how early they go out. And then when we tell them that they're out, then they're out. You know, I mean, obviously we have a plan, you know, four guys, but sometimes things change.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday, the TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Game number one tomorrow, TD. Vrabel saying, anybody who goes should be prepared to play the whole game, which I think is just great classic coach talk, though there will be a lot of guys that play a lot of the game tomorrow. So let me ask you this. You've been at camp. You've seen guys that have stood out. We know who's not going to play for the most part. Take almost all the starters off the offense. They're probably not going to play. And I'd be surprised if any of the main defensive starters, even the guys who are healthy, if they play tomorrow, I think I'd be a little surprised by it. But what are you looking for as far as preseason game number one is concerned?
I want to see how these running backs, right? Let's start with Darrington Evans. I want to see him in pass pro. That's something that's going to be critical for him to get the bulk of those third down reps. It's actually why Jeremy McNichols got so many third down reps last year, because he was solid and reliable, dependable, and pass pro. How will Evans be able to do that? I want to see that. I want to see Dylan Radins going against some of these interior guys, or when he's at tackle, going against those guys. I mean, the Falcons have a dude on their roster named Steven Means, who he's a problem. He's a reserve, but watch number 55 going against that offensive line. I want to see how they're able to maintain his bull rush, his speed to power, and what he brings to the table. I want to see the linebackers as well. Coach Vrabel mentioned Monty Rice. Okay, well, you know, this is a guy that flowed to the football and made a lot of plays in college at Georgia. I want to see how he's going to be able to do that. Can he get off blocks? Can he go ahead and you know, get the necessary run fits and fill the gaps when need be? I also want to see Elijah Molden and Christian Fulton. I think Fulton is going to get a little bit of time, because I think they need to continue to get him out there. But I want to see these corners going against the receivers, right? Molden in his first action. Now, he was in uniform yesterday but wasn't on the field, so I don't know if that means he's not going to play tomorrow, but these are some of the things I want to see. Rashad Weaver, how well are you adjusting and adapting to standing up and coming off the edge, as opposed to so much hand in the dirt? You know, how are you handling the different responsibilities that come with what they're asking them to do, dropping into coverage at times and those things? So there's a bunch of aspects that I want to see. You know, Marcus Johnson, can you continue to make plays like you have in practice? Can you do that in games? Chester Rogers, Mason Kinsey, right? Cam Batson, are we going to see a punt return from these guys? You know, I want to see Nick Westbrook and Kenny, Racy McMath. Are you guys going to be able to go down there and blow somebody up on punt team, right? And help secure your position on the team? You know, Des Fitzpatrick, you're going to know your assignments, right? You're going to be comfortable in a game. Like, will it start to click for you? So there's so much to look for from that perspective.
Do you look at tomorrow as a big game for Logan Woodside from this standpoint, that last year, you know, 2 years ago, Logan was very clearly the third string quarterback behind Mariota and Tannehill, and he played a lot in the preseason, but again, very clearly the third string guy, and none of us ever thought, okay, what if Logan has to get in the game? Last year, there was no preseason, and we kept wondering when Trevor Siemian came in if he was going to ultimately take the job from Woodside. We've been at camp. He was very much clearly better than DeShone Kizer. Now they brought in Matt Barkley. But I think for me and a lot of people, maybe there is a fear that if Logan has to play meaningful football, which he was one snap away from having to do last year, that there's still somewhat of an unknown. So how big for him and his confidence and their confidence and even our confidence is tomorrow night for Logan Woodside?
I don't think it's big for his confidence. He has it. I mean, the guy's been in this scheme for quite some time. You see him with the football. He knows where to go with it. I don't think the confidence is an issue for him or even the coaching staff. Maybe for you, right, and some of the fans it might be, but I don't think it's an issue there. And really what it comes down to, and this is why I thought Kizer was going to end up being a better option, what it comes down to is if Tannehill should – be taken out of the game for whatever reason, you got to tweak the game plan a little bit, right? You don't have the vertical aspect as much anymore because that's just not who Logan Woodside is. He is a guy that he could throw vertically with a little bit of anticipation, but he's a player that, I mean, if I'm a safety, I'm inching up a little bit closer with him as the quarterback because I just don't feel threatened by him to go deep on me. So I think that's where things change a bit. And it almost becomes an offense that kills by paper cut as opposed to gashes, like with Tannehill, you know. So those are some of the things that I look at. I think he's very efficient. He could operate the offense, but it's just there's that negative part of it, which is not being able to push the ball down the field. So I want to see him take some shots tomorrow. I think that'll be a good opportunity for him to take some shots and show that he can improve from that perspective.
TD's with us. How would you structure the playing time tomorrow between the twos and the threes if we're assuming that the older ones are not going to go? So I think you're right. I think Fulton will probably be out there. I think I'd be surprised if Jeffrey Simmons is out there tomorrow. How would you kind of structure the playing time? And how much do you think the starters do need to play in the preseason if they play at all?
I don't think the starters need to play, honestly. I really don't. As far as the reserves, I mean, it's just I would just mix them in there, man, and just rotate. I can't really give you like, hey, you know, this group should get 50% and this group gets the other 50. I don't really get into that too much. But I think the guys who have earned an opportunity to showcase their ability, I think those are the ones that should play. Marcus Johnson, right? Chester Rogers. Mason Kinsey at the receiver position, right? You look at the running backs, you know, all of those guys should play. Even Sargent, you know, number 38, who Mekhi Sargent, who I've seen, you know, get a lot of reps. And that's what it falls down to me. You know, guys who are making plays in practice, those are the ones that need to get the bulk of the snaps because they've already shown potential from that perspective. How will it carry over?
See, I think it's weird. I'm kind of torn, TD, because I want to see Marcus Johnson. I want to see Chester Rogers and see them translate this to the game. You brought up Mason Kinsey. You've been talking about Mason Kinsey for a while. I think in the last week and a half, he's really found himself as kind of that number, that second team slot guy and made an impact on the practice field. But I also want to see these rookies. You know, I want to see Raidens go up full contact, see if he can hold his own in this game, or see Des Fitzpatrick and see if he belongs on an NFL field right now. So I guess I'm kind of torn between guys I know can play, and I want to see how much they can play, or guys that I need to figure out if they can play to help the Titans this year.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you asked me guys that I was looking forward to seeing play, and I mentioned Raidens. Matter of fact, even gave you a specific matchup, you know, and obviously Fitzpatrick, you know, I said with him, I want to see him not look like he belongs on the field. I want to see him look like he has a better understanding of what's going on, more importantly. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good opportunity for these rookies. We know Farley is now going to play. But there are some, you know, other guys that you want to see out there. Brady Breeze, you know, one thing that he could do, go blow somebody up on punt team. You know what I mean? Go do that. And or on kickoff team, blow somebody up, you know, and that's a way that you get a look from special teams over to, okay, well, you know, let's get the rookie out there. Give him some reps on defense, you know. So that's just how that thing works, man. Terrell Davis wouldn't be who he was if he didn't blow up Tyrone Drakeford in Japan, you know what I mean, in that preseason game. So that's just how it goes.
Get your questions in for TD, 615-737-1025 to the text line, 615-737-1025. We'll leave plenty of time so TD can answer your questions. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company. They're online at the freedomtireguys.com. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, the game. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Before we get to all of your questions for TD, I just want to know, people are asking me, TD, about your backdrop today. They say that it is, they say they've got a bunch of questions about all the pictures.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a collection. I mean, it's my personal wall of fame, man. I got, you know, myself with my OG, D-Lab Better. I got a framed tweet where the owner, Miss Amy Adams Strunk, said that she loves my whiteboard Wednesday. So, I mean, it's just, it's a section in my house that you know, I dedicate to myself, man. I love me some me.
I will say this. I've had a wall of fame in my own house. I know exactly how you feel. All right, time for questions for TD. 615-737-1025 is the text line. The text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton is on the text line. What do we have for TD?
The Canadian Titan texts in and says, I'm really excited to see Darrington Evans tomorrow. With the Titans likely to run a very basic offense in the first preseason game, how much of Evans' arsenal can fans expect to see?
Well, I think the good thing is, even though it'll be basic, you'll see those stretch runs and those type of things, the outside zone, which is something that Darrington Evans excelled in at App State. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I wonder if he's going to hit a home run. You know, that's something that he did so many times there in college, and he showed some burst there towards the end of the year when he got back out there. So I think we'll get to see him enough, right? And I think it's a good opportunity to kind of show, hey, look, this guy – he catch the ball out of the backfield too.
How much better does he look in practice than he did this time last year as a rookie to you?
It's not as much how much better he looks as it is how much more confident, you know, and it doesn't look like everything is just kind of like moving too fast for him. He definitely looks comfortable, and even in talking to him, he's more comfortable. So I'll say that it looks better from that perspective.
Another texter texts in and says, how can our backup wide receivers get better if they're not going against our starters to see what we really have in our corners and secondary in training camp? How do we know how good they are when they're going against second, third stringers and players who are trying to make the team?
Well, you can still tell how good they are. And truthfully, I mean, you're seeing Racy McMath, Westbrook McKinney. These guys are getting matched up with Jack Rabbit Jenkins and Christian Fulton and those types. But I think it's really just a matter of not so much being concerned about who you're going against, but concerned about doing what you can do. And that's run your route correctly, get open, catch the football. And whether that's against, you know, Breon Beattie, you know, Body Calhoun or against Jack Rabbit Jenkins, it really doesn't matter. You just go out there and work on your own craft. And I think that's how they could get better. There's a lot of improvement that could be made in drill work. Coach Rob Moore does an excellent job with the drills and the stuff that they're doing during individual period. Are you doing that really well? And then transferring that over to games, you know, or to the rest of practice, to team period, a 7-on-7. So there's opportunities to make plays, even though you're not going against, you know, the top guys consistently.
And I'll compare it to, TD, to your point, to kind of like a guy who plays really well in junior varsity normally goes up to varsity and does the exact same things. And Drew Bennett was a guy who, out of nowhere in the preseason, undrafted free agent at wide receiver, tearing up the third and fourth quarters of a preseason game, and he gets right in the regular season with the ones and starts doing the exact same thing. So I'm with you. I mean, to your point, too, Marcus Johnson was making plays on the second team. And then when Julio goes down or AJ's not there, he's making plays on the first team. I would agree that I wouldn't worry necessarily about the competition.
Devin from Dover texts in and says, are you as concerned about the right tackle position as I am?
I mean, it's something that definitely warrants a lot of attention. In fact, I said that that's probably the biggest competition right now. Obviously, a lot of attention is being paid towards the kicking competition. But, hey, man, they need to figure out who's going to get in there, right? Because Kendall Lamb is out for a bit, right? And Tyson Brelo is, in my opinion, you know, he's one of you call him a jag, right? Like, he's just a guy. Like, he's not someone that I would imagine being out there dominating. And that's no knock on him. It's just, I mean, just calling it what it is. And then you got Quisenberry, who's another one that they rotated in there. I would definitely be somewhat concerned about it because Dylan Radins is the guy that, you know, we thought would take hold of that. And there's still time for that to happen. But he's caught up in playing guard and left and right and, you know, everything else except center. And it's just, I think that's stunning his competition as far as being able to go in there and actually put an actual bid in for that starting job. So that's one of the ones where I couldn't even grade it, man. Like, that's a work in progress or, you know, incomplete.
Josh texts into the text line and asks TD, what should we expect or even want to see from Rashad Weaver?
Yeah, well, what you want to see is him setting the edge, right? And you want to see him, you know, getting a good pass rush. You want to see him just playing comfortably because, again, the viewpoint is different, right? When you're standing up as opposed to handing the dirt, like, you see everything and you're not just going off of the ball. Like, there's so much more to look at as opposed to when you're down there as a down lineman. So you just want to see him just maintain his assignment. You want to see runs have to be forced inside, you know, because he's taking that tackle and turning them and making it go back in there, setting the edge. That's the main thing that I'm looking to see how he does that.
One texter texts in and says, are the preseason games more important than practices? Will showing out in a game make up for being unnoticed in practice?
Good question.
It does. Showing out in a game will make up for being unnoticed in practice. And there's some players where, you know, they're gamers as opposed to practice guys. Now, obviously, a coach wants a guy that's consistently on top of his game. But, you know, if you start noticing a guy turn it up when it matters, I think it will stand out to you. But I don't know that it's more important than practice just because, you know, we have a guy like a Marcus Johnson who's making a play literally every day. And let's say Westbrook Ekwonu goes out there tomorrow and makes a spectacular play. Like, that's going to be of substance, but the guy that consistently makes plays is going to be someone that coach will probably think of more. I know if I was a position coach, that's what I would look at more because you know what you're going to, what to expect each and every day.
I would say this, though, as far as what's more important, the practices or the games, the two practices next week in Tampa Bay, that will be the opportunity for some guys to really make their mark, especially.
Well, I mean, they said, what did Kevin Byers say? He said those practices are like games. And I mean, he said that. So, yeah, for sure.
Ron texts into the text line and says, hypothetically speaking, if Derrick Henry runs for 2,000 yards again and the Titans win the Super Bowl this year and then Henry retires, is Henry automatically a Hall of Famer with this short career?
That is a hot take question. I like it.
Yeah
you know spicy. What? That's why I had to wiggle a little bit, man, because this seat was getting a little warm. Hey, listen, man, if you are a two-time 2,000-yard runner, you're in the Hall of Fame. It shouldn't be a question. A two-time 1,000-yard runner, you're in the Hall of Fame. And my thing is this. If you think about this five-year period, right, just think about football from 2015 and until – or let's go 2000 – we'll go 2018. That's just that three-year period, right? Mm-hmm. The guy he tied for the longest run ever, right? He led the league in rushing in back-to-back. And if he has 2,000, it would be back-to-back-to-back, a three-peat, and also touchdowns back-to-back. So, yeah, I mean, you got to put him in because if you look at it, it would be tough to speak about this era of football, you know, this 2015 to 2021, 22, without mentioning Derrick Henry. I mean, he's clearly been the best back as far as running the football. So I would say, yes, Hall of Fame.
And if there was any question about the longevity element of it, Terrell Davis, Gale Sayers,
yeah.
those guys who did not have long careers, but they were so good in the time that they were at the peak of their game. You could make the argument that with three rushing titles and two 2,000-yard seasons, that Derrick Henry was every bit as good as those guys at their peak. And then the Super Bowl element of it, I think, just knocks it out of the park. That
absolutely.
That, I mean, I think is just, I think immediately to the Hall of Fame. I mean, like, if Kurt Warner's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and Kurt had a good career, but if Kurt's going to be in the Hall of Fame and Derrick Henry rushes for 2,000 yards 2 years in a row and wins three rushing titles and wins the Super Bowl, yeah, I think Derrick Henry has to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the back-to-back alone.
TD, always good to chat. We will talk next week. We will have a game to break down. We will also have Tampa Bay Buccaneer practices to break down in Tampa the next time that we talk. And, of course, we're always looking forward to you on the morning show tomorrow, talking with TD, and, of course, your full breakdown from Friday night's game Monday on Darren Donick and Chase. Appreciate you, TD. TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Chad Withrow makes his return to Nashville radio. He's got to solve an argument here on this show. And let me say this. Chad Withrow was the first person to ever put me on the air in Nashville. I'll explain the story behind that. But we've got an argument on this show that he's going to solve for us next. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.